Our reading this morning is from Revelation 21, starting at verse 9, which can be found on page 1249 of the Pew Bibles. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride and the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a great measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, as wide and as high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of a sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Well, we're attracted to viewing points, aren't we? I guess quite a few of you have been here, at the top of Box Hill. And that concrete structure that the boy is sort of standing on and pointing out over has been placed there because from that point there is just this wonderful view, looking out over part of Dorking and into the Surrey Hills. Viewing points. We like to get a good view. We like to be able to survey, to look out, to see. We'll climb hills or mountains for it. We'll pay money to go up a tall building for it. We'll buy a drone and send it into the sky for it. We like that idea of a good view. And this morning we're going to join John the Apostle as he is given a view from a mountain of something that we long to see. A view of what we often call heaven. I wonder what questions you have about heaven. We were talking about heaven in our growth group, the daytime growth group this week. I guess in other growth groups it came up with what we're looking at through Revelation. We're often interested in things like what it will look like, what we will look like, what we will do, what we will have. But But instead, what John sees, although on first appearance seems to be describing exactly those things, what John sees and what John shares with us gives us much deeper truths, more important truths, more deeper realities of what we can look forward to. And that's my prayer this morning, that as we join John on the mountaintop and as we look, we'll have a growing excitement, a growing expectation that one day we will be there. Look with me at the beginning of the reading that Michelle just read to us, chapter 21 of Revelation and verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to me and said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And what do we expect to see at that point? Well, the description of a bride, maybe a description of the dress, the veil, the flowers. Congratulations, by the way, to Rob White and Clara Daniel. They got engaged recently. A wedding. And human marriage is to show us something of a greater reality. To show us that relationship between God and his people, between Christ and the church. That's what the Bible keeps telling to us again and again. That's what marriage is to show. Marriage isn't an end in itself. It's to point to something bigger, greater. And so we expect John to run with that image of the bride. That's what the angel says. "Come, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." But, verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, to a viewpoint, and showed me a city, not a bride. The holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It's a mixing of metaphors. Now, we should be well used to that by now in Revelation. Picture language, coming at us thick and fast. We get the expectation of we're going to see the bride. We're going to see the people of God. We need to hold on to that. Because that's the same idea with the city, the new Jerusalem. Not a literal place, but another picture of the people of God. And we see it's the people of God because of what's described to us. Verse 12, it had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the people of God. And verse 14, the wall of the city had 12 foundations and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The people of God. Old covenant, new covenant. Old testament, new testament. The people of God. The city is picture language for the people of God. And notice the headline in verse 11. This is the first of the things we're going to see. It shone, verse 11, with the glory of God. And its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. First thing to expect of heaven. We, if we are the people of God, will shine with the glory of God. Look at the description, verse 18. The wall was made of jasper. The city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. And these precious stones are mentioned. Some of them, I guess we know. Some of them, I guess we're not really sure what it is, but we can imagine it's brightly coloured, dazzling. Jasper, sapphire, agate, emerald, onyx, ruby, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, turquoise, jacinth, amethyst. And then the gates, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made with a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. Now, where are we? It's Revelation. What have we been trying to remember all the way through Revelation? Picture language, picture language. We're not to think literal city, literal street of gold, literal gates made of pearl, literal pearly gates. That's where that expression comes from. No, it's a picture of us. And we're to get something of the dazzling beauty of us. Now, we feel the ugly shame of sin, the filthy rags of our own efforts before God, the dulling effect of trying to shine our own glory before others, worried about what people will think of us and trying to look good, the embarrassment of our failings. But there, we'll be as we are meant to be, transformed into perfect reflectors of God's glory, dazzling in colour and light. Description later of the nations coming in, there will be that multinational group of people reflecting the glory of God. It's us. Like jewels reflect the light, you will reflect something of God's glory in your character, in your personality, in what you do, in what you're like, in how you behave, in what you say, in what you think about. God's glory will be reflected out for others to see. You, if you're God's people today, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus today, you will shine with the glory of God. You long for that? Secondly, you will be forever in the presence of God. Verses 15 to 17 use more structural language. And again, we struggle because we start to think, well, maybe this is the literal place. Is this what it's literally going to be like? Its size and measurements. And we've got a DIY day coming up. We need to look after this place. Do get involved in that day, helping to paint and to redecorate and to sort things out. We need to look out after the structure of this building. But what's being described here again is not a literal building. The angel with John, the angel who's with him, takes a measuring rod to measure the city. Even his measuring rod is made of gold. And then the size and shape of the city is spelled out to us so that we see that it's cube-shaped. 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and high as it is long. It's a cube. We're told the thickness of the wall, 144 cubits thick. Now, just with those numbers, we think again, don't we? Well, the numbers, they're symbolic. We're in Revelation. It's no accident, the size of this city and the thickness of the wall. In fact, people have said if the wall was really that high, it couldn't be because of it's not thick enough. And we don't want to translate the numbers and the measurements into our meters and inches and feet. Centimetres, millimetres. We need to keep these measurements because then we keep these numbers. 12,000. 12, the people of God. 144, maths, school, times tables, the last one. 12 times 12, 144. Complete people of God are in view. And they're cube-shaped. And again, we think, what else helps us to understand Revelation? Well, it's the Old Testament. The Old Testament helps us. Is there anything cube-shaped in the Old Testament? If you were here a couple of weeks ago in the evening, we heard of the temple being built, Solomon's temple. 1 Kings chapter 6. And there in verse 19, we read, Solomon prepared the inner sanctuary within the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord there, the place where God would dwell amongst his people, the inner sanctuary. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 wide, and 20 high, cube-shaped. The inner sanctuary, the most holy place, the place where God's presence would be, cube-shaped. Here, Revelation, this description of the city, cube-shaped. So we're to think this city, this new Jerusalem, is the equivalent of the most holy place. It's the place where God's presence will be, the place where God will dwell amongst his people, literally amongst us. And then we see with the mention of those precious stones, those 12 precious stones, they're not picked at random. Again, we might be jogged in our memory of something from the Old Testament, 12 precious stones. Well, the high priest had all kinds of garments that he had to wear, and one of them was a breastplate that had 12 precious stones on, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And as he went into the most holy place once a year, he took with him that reminder of the people. The people couldn't go in themselves, only he could go in. But with him, those 12 precious stones into the most holy place. And now those 12 precious stones are making up that most holy place. And again, we're thinking it's us. We're there. We are in God's presence. So verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. We'll have no place to go to be nearer to God. There'll be no need of sacrifice to be nearer to God. There'll be no curtain or wall separating us from God. We'll be there with him. And whereas before, when we read through the Old Testament, to see God was to die, then our faith will be turned to sight. Just jump on with me to chapter 22 and verse 4. They will see his, that's Jesus's, face. All that distance that we feel now in our faith, all that wondering if our prayers have been heard, all the frailties of faith now, there will be over. We will see. Faith will be turned to sight. We will see Jesus, our Saviour, our Lord, and be in God's presence forever. And we'll find then that at last we'll truly be where we belong. Notice that line there in chapter 22. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. We were thinking about that in growth group this week. We put our names on things we own. The book when we lend it to someone else, if we don't trust them. Our children's clothes when we send them to school. Andy in Toy Story naming his toy, Woody. Putting his name under his foot. There again, picture language, God's name on us. Because we belong to him. Do you ever feel like you don't belong in this life? You don't quite fit in? There we will truly belong. We'll be home with the Lord in his presence forever. And thirdly, we'll be safe and secure. Just think how much a lack of safety impacts our lives. Did you lock your door when you came out this morning? Lock your windows? You travelled lately through an airport, had to go through security checks? You heard sirens whizzing round Cheam? You scared of the dark? Chapter 21 and verse 23, The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there'll be no night there.
glory and honour of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No terror attacks. No persecution. No knife crime. No dodgy areas of the town or city to avoid. No abuse. No burglaries. No need to lock your door. No sirens. Safe and secure. Permanently. Again, it's picture language. We need to think picture language, not saying literally there'll be no sun shining. It's this world made new. There may or may not be a sun shining. But the picture language of no night, nothing to scare us, no evil, no darkness. Safe and secure. Not only that, but we'll all be alive and well. Chapter 22, verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. Again, Old Testament takes us back to Eden, doesn't it? Descriptions of the Garden of Eden. Takes us back to Ezekiel's vision of the temple, the new temple of God. And we see here in Revelation, flowing from God's throne, highlighting he's the provider, it comes from him, life. The water of life, we can picture it, we can see it, can't we? Like a mountain stream, clear as crystal, cool to drink, refreshing. And not just the river of the water of life, but on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, we fight aging with the gym or with makeup or even with surgery. There, we won't age or decay. Now, we take medicine or go to the doctors or need scans or blood tests or treatment. There, we'll never be unwell. We'll never suffer from aches or pains or debilitating disease. Now, we shrink from death. There, there'll be no graveyards or cemeteries or crematoriums or funeral directors. We will be forever alive and well. Tree of life, there, central, again, picture language, but showing us that nourishment that we'll receive to keep us alive and well. And the word used for tree there is the same word used for wood, which is the same word that describes the cross. A reminder of what makes us ultimately alive and well. The cross of the Lord Jesus. Lastly, we will be blessed. Again, think back to Eden, God's creation, God's making of human beings. And we read the words, God blessed them. Said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over. But then in Genesis 3, we see the fall of humankind. We hear the curse of God come. And we still feel the effects of the curse on our world now. What goes wrong in our world now? The frustrations in our world now, the curse. But wonderfully, look at verse 3, chapter 22. No longer will there be any curse. The curse was overturned at the cross. No curse. Instead, blessing. Now keep your eyes on verses 3 and 4 in chapter 22 while I read a blessing from the Bible and see if you can see the similarities. This is from Numbers chapter 6, but you look at verse 3 and 4 of chapter 22. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them, says the Lord. It's that blessing, isn't it? Here in Revelation, that blessing of God. Blessed by him, happy in him. We started at Box Hill. My guess is if you've been to Box Hill once, you've probably returned. You've probably stopped at the same points to see the same view, to see things you've seen before again, to spot new things. We need to do so with passages like this. This is your future. You're trusting in the Lord Jesus. This is what's before us. Not describing the material things that our hearts sort of hanker for, but describing the deep truths. You will shine with the glory of God forever. Dazzling. You will be forever in the presence of God. Seeing the face of the Lord Jesus, not struggling with the distance we feel from God now, but with him forever. You will be safe and secure. Anxieties removed. Forever. You will be alive and well. No more NHS. No more rattling with pills. Forever. You will be blessed by God himself. Forever. Can you glimpse it? Do you see it? When you stand on the hill with John and you look out across chapter 21 and chapter 22. Don't fall into thinking literal city. Streets of gold. Think me. You. Us. Forever. Perhaps just in the quietness now, take one of those. Which one of those? Just to dwell on, meditate on before we sing our closing song. Which one do you want to hold tightly to today? Which will be yours forever in Jesus?